words already. One thing I love about this church family is there are so many that have substance and always get fed well before I come up to speak. So thank you for all that value that you all choose to add to your church family. Well, let us pray. Lord, we love you and we acknowledge you as a source. You're the head, we're the body, and so we pray for us to keep our grip tight upon you, that we hold fast to the head together, that we're nourished, and we know it's in your own best interest to both nourish and to clean your body, to take care of your body. And so let us just do our part and receive graciously. We love you, Lord, and do pray a blessing upon each person as they have offered, as they've brought something, and that they would receive as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, so back to Joseph. Joseph part 8. Last time we considered Joseph, I had to look it up, was back in December. So we've had a series on hope, 2019 being a year of hope. And so now we're going to come back to Joseph for a season. And I'm always excited because he's one of my favorites in the Word of God. So we're going to look at Joseph in a time where he remembered. And it's pretty convenient since this is Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day being tomorrow. And when you think of Memorial Day, it's kind of both a negative and a positive. Memorial Day, of course, is remembering the fallen that have sacrificed their life so that we can have the nation that we have today. And so it's sad in that sense. We look back upon those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But it's positive because what they did allowed America to continue to grow and progress in certain ways. And so but it's also sad in another sense that when you think of Memorial Day, how many Americans actually even know what it's about, even spend a second thinking about those that have given their lives. I mean, just think about what's coming up June 7th every year. That's the anniversary of the invasion of Normandy. And so how many young men lived life in the usual way, were called into service, and were trained for 6 months, for a year, you know, somebody's son, somebody's grandson, and then went out and Operation Overlord was about to happen. They were about to go on the beaches of Normandy and got out of their, what are those boats called that they have? They have a special name. Anyway, they got out of those boats and onto the beach and dead in 5 seconds, gunned down, machine gunned by Germans. So it's sad that so many Americans don't even think about. They just, Memorial Day is just, oh, it's just a day off. Or I even went online to be reminded of when Memorial Day started, and the first things that come up are Memorial Day sales. And so everything is just so, as things happen in this world, they become corrupted and distorted. But we're going to look at proper remembering. Because remembering in general can be both negative and positive as well. It can be negative in that a person can be bound up in their memories. They've had traumatic events, and so it could stunt them from that point forward, and their whole life is referenced to their memory banks in terms of a negative. Or perhaps life was so much better back then, And so the whole nostalgia delusion, remembering in that sense, is a negative. But of course, God gave us memory banks, and it is intended to be a positive in our life. When we remember, we can learn things. And when we make mistakes or consider the mistakes of others, if we remember what we did or they did wrong, then hopefully we learn and don't replicate. Or celebrating, God gave the Jews feasts so that they could remember certain things. And it wasn't to keep them down or, well, we did these things wrong and God turned things around, but it was to celebrate and to celebrate the goodness of God. And so these memory banks, I mean, there are times, and perhaps you've thought, as I have, if only I could erase some of these memory banks, that'd be so wonderful. Or this memory gets me into trouble from time to time. But God gave it to us for a reason, for good reason. Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So in former times, fathers would put up landmarks, property markings, boundaries and such, and they were not to be removed. It was very important. And considering this for us, God is our Heavenly Father. And as God's children, our Heavenly Father has set up landmarks in our lives, memory markers, if you will, and things to look back on, things to keep in mind as we proceed. Of course, for Christians, the biggest landmark should be our salvation, when we came to trust in Jesus Christ. And we became the new creation, the old passing away, and the burdens rolling off, and finally experiencing what life is really all about. The creation becoming one with the Creator, that we can be called sons and daughters of God. But that's not the only thing. He also has other landmarks that he sets up along the way, or maybe promissory points, where he gives us words, he gives us promises. He sets things in our hearts. He tucks things in there. And he wants us to remember and to recount those things. And he intends eventually to fulfill those things. And then we remember, ah, yes, the Lord said this. The Lord set this in my heart. The Lord gave me this promise. And now I remember once again. Now, what God sets up, you know, as we saw in Proverbs, remove not the ancient landmarks. Well, what God sets up stays. No person can remove the landmarks that God sets up in our heart. When God gives us those moments, and he gives us security, he gives us an understanding that I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to bless you in certain ways. I will keep you. Those landmarks stay. The problem is never with the staying power of God's landmarks as though they could be removed. The problem is that we tend to forget. And so the removal mechanism is us not remembering his wonderful landmarks. Now, they can be monumental things. They can be things that are big, that I promise you I will take care of your seed. This child will be saved. I will protect you. These enemies are coming against you. They're forging a conspiracy. And yet I'm going to keep you through this. They can be big things and they can be small things. You ever have what can be considered like premonitions, perhaps, or I better put a spiritual intuition, where you think about maybe somebody you haven't seen in months or years, and then you see that very person later on in that day? How many of you have experienced something like that? I believe those are small little things, little sets. God sets in this little landmark, if you will. And then later on, you think, you remember, that's right. That person was brought to my heart for some reason. Then I see them in Westlakes. Those are like wow moments. And you have enough of them and you begin to consider, you know, this isn't just a coincidence. This is God. God has set up big things in my life, salvation, huge promises, rhema words, landmarks. And he does all these little things where he kind of just, yeah, I really could use that tool. If only I had that tool. Then someone just happens to say, hey, I've got this tool. Wow, another thing to remember, the goodness of God. Recently, I've moved, and God had already showed me the street and the side of the street. And then it actually opened up. And I didn't think about it all the time because I was still looking at other places. But I came to this wow moment. It wasn't something that was in the forefront. So it kind of drifted. And then I said, you know, yeah, that's right. I remember when I was driving down here and you pointed me out over there. That's like, wow. How cool is that? And another time in my life where the Lord had settled in my heart, I had a desire to pastor. It just came naturally because I love God's word and I really loved giving it to God's people and seeing the transformative effect and the love of God conveyed. And he spoke into my heart that you will do this. And so I kind of just let it go, and then the Lord opened a door to where I could come here, and that expression could become and just fully expressed, I guess, another wow moment to look back. Do you have wow moments like that, by the way? Genesis 42, verses 1 through 9, here we come back to Joseph. And so since it's been a long time since we've considered this awesome man, to give us a little bit of a backdrop, Joseph had been betrayed by his 10 brothers and was sent to Egypt, basically, not willingly, and was a slave and a prisoner for 13 years. Through some God events, of course, Joseph is taken out of the prison. And he's raised up to second in command of Egypt. And part of that promotion was that he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. And the Pharaoh's dream involved 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so Joseph has basically been in this situation, away from his homeland and the huge reversal in Egypt for about 20 years now. And so we pick it up here in Genesis 42, verses 1 through 9. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" I always thought that was kind of humorous. It's like, why are you guys sitting around looking at each other? And yeah, I guess you had to be there. Not that I was, but it was. And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So this is a desperate situation. I don't think any of us have ever experienced a situation like this. We got a lot to be thankful for, as we heard earlier. I mean, one day I just stopped in my kitchen, and I thanked God for water right in front of my kids. Thank you so much for clean water. One day I stopped and said, thank God for caulk. Guess who's doing a lot of home projects right now? Thank you, God, for whoever invented this. They're in a desperate situation. Verse 3, so 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. What a turnaround. These 10 that had sold him out because of envy and a little greed. That, what you say to us, Joseph, that will never happen. And they thought themselves so strong and superior, and this kid, we'll just get rid of him. What a turnaround. Now they come, the 10 of them, desperate, as foreigners, and hoping that they can buy some grain, lest their families, lest their children and the extended family die. Verse 7, Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. Where do you come from? He said. They said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. All deferential and all humility, hoping that they could buy food. And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Verse 9 is what really arrested my attention. And Joseph remembered. Can you say remembered? This is a wow moment. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them. Decades had gone by, at the very least 20 years. 13 years, because he was 17 when he was sold out. So from that point till he was raised out of prison was 13 years. We have those markers. And then 7 years of plenty. So 2 decades have gone by. And my thought was, had he forgotten the promise? After all, he's doing well enough in Egypt. He's basically living the Egyptian dream. Position of power, prominence, prosperous, and served. He's not wanting in any way, not lacking. And so God had given him a dream way back when he was young. And basically, if you don't know the account, the dream was about his father and his mother and his 10 brothers all bowing down to him. And so he communicated that, perhaps unwisely, but he communicated that dream to his family, and they didn't take it too well. Obviously, the 10 brothers really didn't take it too well. And this dreamer, they called him, this dreamer, let's get rid of this dreamer. Now he remembers the dreams that he had dreamed of them. And had he forgotten the dream? Was it something that he just didn't think about anymore? I don't think about that past too much. I mean, early on it was sensitive, and he was pining away, no doubt, to get back to his father and his homeland. But all this time goes by. What does it even matter? I've got a wife, I've got children, I'm doing well, and maybe that was nothing. And of course, we find it significant that he named his firstborn son Manasseh. Does anybody know what the name Manasseh means? To forget. Come here, forgetful. It's like he didn't want to remember. Why should I remember? It's too much pain. Yeah, I had God encounters, but now I don't even think about it anymore. Just kind of let it go. But an awesome thing, God still fulfills his word. How many things have we forgotten that we have yet to be reminded of? This is very encouraging. Things that God has dropped in our hearts, precious promises, if you will, where there's a time lag for us, but there's no time lag for God. And what God says is going to come to pass. It's interesting that in the New Testament, we have a man named Simeon and his wife Elizabeth. And Simeon was of the priestly order. He's an old man at this point. They didn't have any children. And he comes into the temple to do his service. The lot fell to him to offer incense. And the angel of the Lord comes to Simeon and says, God has remembered. He's heard. He's heard your prayers. And Another humorous thing is for Simeon to start, his mind start racing. Okay, what have I prayed for lately? Have I prayed for my noisy neighbors to quiet down? What have I prayed for lately? I need a new donkey. God has heard your prayers. Well, you know what this couple was praying for decades before? A child. And God heard the prayer. 30, 40, 50 years might have gone by. It hasn't been answered. And very likely they're at peace with it. Okay, it's just not to be. But God doesn't forget. And in God's perfect time, he brought the forerunner of Jesus Christ, one John the Baptist. And Simeon, of course, experiences a great miracle. How many of these promises have we forgotten? But God is going to bring them forth in the right time, in the right way. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and then 32 through 35. Saints here were greatly troubled, as we'll see, experiencing severe persecution. And yet the writer of Hebrews basically sums up why he's written the letter. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." God has tucked things into the hearts of these saints. So hold fast the confession of the hope. Hope is for things that have not yet been realized. And what God promises, this is a powerful little phrase at the end of verse 23, for he who promised is faithful. What God says will be done. But they were being troubled. Verse 32. Recall the former days when afterward you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners of those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Now, these are some high-quality, mature saints. Most of us would never take lightly the plundering of our personal property. Confiscation or damage, we would be seeking out justice. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but we wouldn't take that well. Obviously, they had no recourse. And so they were reproached, they were afflicted. The authorities came in and just took their goods at will. But they kind of did an accounting, little accounting tweak in their hearts. Verse 35, since you know that you had a better possession and an abiding one. So the temporary things, okay, we can let those go. We've got eternal things. However, there's this time lag thing. That's why this epistle was written. You all were strong. You all suffered a lot in the beginning, and you seemed to take it joyfully. But somewhere along the way, they began to forget things. They began to let drift the precious promises of God. And that can happen to any of us. What we start off with enthusiasm and sacrifice and zeal, over time, things can start to drift. Time lags. And we're not so excited. We're not holding fast to the confidence of our hope and the promises of God anymore. And so the writer of Hebrews is extremely concerned. In fact, the next chapter, chapter 11, he lists off a bunch of people that kept the faith, that didn't relinquish the promises that God had given them as examples. Verse 35, to me, is the exact reason why the epistle of Hebrews was written. And it's a long epistle. Hebrews 10:35, to finish off this passage, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Joseph perhaps let that confidence drift. He just didn't even think about it. But in time, God brought a great moment, a wow moment. And he remembered, yes, he could connect dots once again. The encouragement to these saints and the encouragement to us is don't just let those things drift. Don't forget our way of removing the ancient landmarks that God has placed is that we forget or we let them drift. We become apathetic. We become occupied with other things that compete or displace what God has tucked in our hearts. Our God is the God of yes and amen. When he puts something in our hearts, a certainty, whether again, monumental or seemingly mundane, big or small, it doesn't matter. When he tucks something into your heart, it is yes and amen, it shall be done. It is promise and fulfillment. And there is no time lag from God's perspective. We experience time lags. For Simeon and Elizabeth, God tucked something in their heart, and yet there was decades in between. But from God's perspective, the answer was yes, and John the Baptist was conceived and born, and all in one moment. As strange as that sounds, as hard as it is to fathom, everything is a now. When God says something, it is already accomplished in him. That's why when we believe as anything touching his will, it shall be done. It's all one to God. The request, the answer, and the fulfillment is all one. Zero time lag. Wouldn't it be wonderful to experience some of those, by the way? And it is good from time to time. God does give us instant from our perspective. We're just addicted to instantaneous fulfillment. But he gives us some instants. And yes and amen is all at once from our perspective. But by and large, it is yes, time lag, amen. It is promise, time lag, fulfillment. Keep a hold. Verse 35 of Hebrews 10, therefore don't throw away your confidence. It has a great reward. So regarding remembrance, there's some things that we can do to help us out, lest we should forget, lest we should toss away and allow other things to come in. First of all, God has given us this wonderful book called the Bible, a book of books. And by and large, it's a memory book. So much of it is history, it's lessons, people and situations and things that we can consider, and the Holy Spirit can bring personal application. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul talks about the memory book. He says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. It's like God prepared a special book for his special people. The privileged status of a church is unequaled. God did have privileged people as individuals and as groups throughout human history, but it was all leading to the church. The church is the apple of God's eye, and he has saved all the best for last. Where people could have bits and pieces and limited doses of the Spirit, of revelation, of truth, now we get the fullness of it. The church has the Holy Spirit, and the church has the full book, the 66 books of the Bible. And so we've got a lot on our side. We got the resources. This memory book, I mean, just consider when you read the Old Testament and you see all the different people, Joseph, who we're considering today, we're remembering. We're experiencing a landmark, if you will, what God did in the life of Joseph, the great reversals, where it seemed like it was just tragedy and he was sold out and misery was to be his destiny. We now look at it as a landmark. Wait, God turned things around in Joseph's life. And what God did in Joseph's life, what God did in Job's life, what God did for the people of Israel, God can do for us as well. That's why he's given us so much. He knows that we're simpletons. He knows that we're like sheep and we tend to be drawn astray to other attractions and concerns. And so he's given us this huge book called the Bible. Such an awesome book. So well written, internally consistent, externally consistent, archaeologically, historically validated. Just an unassailable, awesome book. And he says here, I give you the ability to interpret the book by the Holy Spirit and take the book. Read the book every day. So we can read of the people and we can read of the promises. We can see how God worked in the life of Paul. We can see how God chastised his people. We can consider the severity of God. We can consider how God encourages people. We can consider the goodness of God. And remember so it touches us. We don't just remember for the sake of a history lesson or academic information or so that we can win a Bible trivia. We take the memory book in so that these landmarks become personalized. They hold our attention. And when the fulfillment comes, he goes, ah, just like God dealt with Jonah and that stubbornness, but he didn't give up. He didn't just leave him there. He brought him out of that great fish and even used somebody like Jonah. God also doesn't allow me just to stay in my foolishness. He remembers me. God remembered Jonah. God remembers me. And God even uses me in my foolishness and my stubbornness. It's an awesome thing. Remember, God has given us a book to recall what he has done for others and to make memories. Many memory makers. How many of you have like a memory book? What's the right term for a memory book? Maybe a diary or something where you can look back and precious memories. My mom had these, I forget what they were called, but they were some type of fad back in the 80s. A memory book of sorts. And I don't remember where they're at, by the way, but they were, let's make memories and then keep them here and we can look back later and whatever it might be. Well, God's given us that, the wonderful Word of God. Do you read the Word of God or listen to the Word of God? I mean, we're pretty, even in our generation as a church, we say, oh, the sin and the technology, which amps it up, indeed. But we also have apps, and now we can listen anytime, anywhere. We can even listen to it dramatized. I've got an app in my phone, and I put that thing on all the time. I was jogging yesterday, getting ready for this 5K, Lord willing, and listening to Psalm 145, 146, all the way to 150, and it's dramatized. It's pretty cool if you like that kind of thing. So there's no excuse. When's the last time you read the Bible? Last Sunday when I read it up there. That's good. At least you're getting once a week. But really, you would be helping yourself to be getting in this book, the memory book, so it could sharpen your memory and keep you aligned so you can connect more dots. It'd be good to get in on a perhaps a daily basis. And as you know, I find it significant that even God has a book of remembrance. Not that God forgets anything, but in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that God-fearers got together and they spoke to each other, and a book of remembrance was written of them. In other words, I think God, one of God's favorite things is when his people get together and they actually have healthy fellowship. They actually have loving relationships, whether it's in your personal household or in gatherings of other brothers and sisters. It's such a rare thing because the world is always a place of violence and suspicion and hypersensitivity and everybody's so easily offended and drama, drama, drama. So these special moments happen where God-fearers get together and they talk. They actually talk reasonably. And they don't have agendas. They're not trying to peel through everything to get to the core. They just speak openly. God writes it down. And then when we, now this is my interpretation, when we get to heaven, we'll have some of those accounts, a memory. Oh, yeah. This is what God treasured. This is what he valued. So enjoy the memory book. Speaking of memory books, how great it was for one Mordecai in the book of Esther. Remember the memory book that was open? The king was bored, couldn't sleep, bored, just kind of stirring. And so if you ever need to sleep, you know, just read the Chronicles of something. Well, what's happened recently in the kingdom? I need to be put back to sleep is another way of saying that. So it gets read to him. He goes, oh, this guy saved my life. What's been done for him? And another great reversal. Just memory books, as it was a blessing for Mordecai, how much more is the Bible a blessing for us? Hey, if you can't sleep, put your app on. Or if you still do the CD thing, put your Bible CD in. Let it spin. And, oh, I don't want to fall asleep to that. I can't think of anything better to fall asleep to than the Word of God just going and going and going into you. Anyway, to remember, number two, recall and rehearse the right things. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about, and we could put in there, recount those things, the things that are good and right and proper. Verse 9, what you have learned, go past tense here now, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so in general, verse 8, keep your mind on good things. But if you need a specific example, Paul could be saying in verse 9, for example, my example amongst you, the things that I taught you, the impartation that occurred when I was with you, remember these things, put them into practice, and what happens? The peace of God. There's so many horrible things that we remember that just do us no good. And replace those memories. And it could just be vanity, just be excess information or entertainment. I remember this. Oh, wasn't that a great movie, you know? Why keep those things in your memory banks? Let them drift. But let not the things of God drift, the good things, the eternal things. Speaking of wasteful or wickedness, number three, remember wickedness only to bring us closer to Jesus. Revelation 2:5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove you from your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So the church of Ephesus definitely had drifted. They lost their first love. And Jesus gives them a very stern word. You're about to lose your place. And so, you know, think back. Where have you fallen from? Go back to that place. Repent in your heart. Make right with me, and things will be well. When we sin, as the church of Ephesus did, we are to remember that wickedness only to repent, or not to allow it to lodge in our memory banks. Because if we do, then a second phase will kick in. That is condemnation, shame. You're worthless. You never measure up. And wouldn't you know it, once that starts to happen, the evil spirits, the devil who's the accuser of the brethren, they'll kind of cue into that. And they'll echo that. That's right. You are worthless. You never measure up. So when we sin, not if, we confess our sin, and then we kind of just have to let it go. And that's it. Don't allow it to compile or double down on you. And then there's this. Not only is there the wickedness that we engage in, that we can only remember enough of it that brings us to Jesus, not that pushes us away from Jesus. If we're remembering it and it's pushing us away from Jesus. Time to let some of those things go and fill the memory banks of good things. But then there's also this. There's the wickedness that is done to us. And oh boy, that self-worship nature, as hard as we try, as much as we try to submerge it under the water, so to speak, when something's done to us, it is hard to forget. Now, I will admit, this is a real struggle for me. I have a good memory, which is a positive in many respects, but boy, can it be a negative. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There are some people that can more easily allow selective amnesia to occur, and they're blessed in that respect. When wickedness is done to us, as I brought up at the beginning of the message, how many people in our society are bound up in their memory banks? They can't get over. They just rehearse it and rehearse it. They were betrayed in a big way. They were abused. They were let down, disappointed. They experienced a horrible car accident. Now they still have trouble driving even. Well, when wickedness is done to us, not that you experience a car accident is your own wickedness or anything, but when wickedness is done to us, we should only allow it to come into our memory banks as it pushes us to Jesus. And that's it. The past really has its only value, particularly in wickedness, is if it's pushing me to Jesus, that's good. This was done to me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I choose to forgive them once again. Jesus, I choose to be bold and to go forward, not to shrink back in fear because I experienced a rejection or I experienced a failure somewhere. Jesus, help me. But if Jesus isn't part of it and I'm just remembering the wickedness, then it is of no value and it brings harm to our lives. And so remember wickedness only in as so far as it pushes us to Jesus. Anything else is going to hurt you. So, happy Memorial Day to you. Not only in terms of the national holiday, but thinking now in our memory banks and remembering Jesus. And so we're going to stand and pray, and hopefully this will be a message that you remember for a little while. If we could just close our eyes for a moment. If there be some here today that you have not yet committed your life to Jesus Christ, you've not believed in him for salvation, God loves you. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. Nobody is acceptable to God based on their own merits. You or I cannot be good enough to have a relationship with God. We have to go through Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. Believe on Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ stands condemned already. If you'd like me to remember you in prayer today, take those first steps to humbly give yourself to Jesus. Believe in him for salvation. Just raise your hand and I'll remember you in prayer today. God is here for you today. He's ordained for you to be here to hear his message of life. If you'd like me to pray for you, just raise your hand. Brothers and sisters, you want to have that God-given component of your humanity and of your Christianity, that your memory banks. Help me, Lord God, to utilize my memory as an asset, not as a liability. Help me, Lord, particularly with the wickedness. Sometimes that just stands out. That's all I can remember. All the good things that happened. How often is it the one bad thing that happens that we remember? You just want the Holy Spirit today to help you, to renew your mind and to remember in the right way. Just come on down. I want to pray for you today. We'll close out gathering here. First of all, I want to pray. When I was bringing up the things that God tucks in your heart, precious promises, and you've got something, maybe God reminded you. So, you know, I remember I said this to you, and now the Holy Spirit is helping with this word today. And perhaps you lost heart, or perhaps you've just plain old forgotten. And God is wanting you to bear that in mind, to keep it in the forefront. And if you feel that applies to you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Father, help these today that they have something or some things that you've tucked in their heart. You're going to deal with it. You're going to bring resolution. Help them through the time lag. Help them to look to you who already sees it done. You're the God of yea and amen. And just commit that to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask to get today with these who have gathered here and just help us all, Lord God, to keep our minds on the good things. And when wickedness assails, when dark thoughts and negative memories come forward, to only go in your direction, Lord, and to leave that behind as best we can. Help us, Lord God, to have wow moments. Let us see and even remember some of the wow moments that we've forgotten, and to anticipate the future, to be excited, God, that what you've done for us, you can continue to do for us. What you've done for others throughout the Word and throughout church history, Lord, you can do for us. You're the same. You don't change. And so let us just be open-minded and alert and maybe bring back some of that zest, some of that excitement, some of that sense of adventure. Perhaps Joseph settled in and it just wasn't there anymore. But you are still faithful to him, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to remember that you are there and that you will answer in due season. Thank you, Lord, for your good word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And blessings upon you.